Good job, guys. Wow. Dang. How about that for some worship, eh? Wow. Man, I love doing this together. I say this like nearly every week, but man, I love doing this together. You guys sound amazing. So, boy, praise Jesus. I'm Pastor Kurt. Boy, a lot of you met for the very first time here this morning, so good morning, good to see you, good to meet you. Welcome to Ledge Rock Community Church. Here at Ledge Rock, we are all about praising and worshiping Jesus. Amen? Amen. And maybe you've never even really heard about Jesus. Well, you're in the right place. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot about Jesus. Jesus is good. Yeah, all the time. So anyway, like I said, good morning. What a beautiful morning. Central air working 2 weeks in a row. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, me and the heat do not jive very well. So yeah, what did I miss? Right the place. Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, most weeks. But anyway, like I said, boy, good morning. Can you believe it's like the middle of September? Now, well, nearly the middle of September. You're supposed to say, no, we can't believe that, Pastor Kurt. Like, yeah, I can't believe how fast the summer is going and time is going. It feels like fall out there. And then would you believe me if I told you that school starts tomorrow? Yeah. I got mixed response on that one about school starting tomorrow. It's no lie. It's no joke. School starts tomorrow. It was supposed to start a week ago, but if you hadn't noticed, there's a little bit of construction going on up there at the school. Been going on for some time, and so they actually delayed it a bit, but tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day. I don't know who all's gotten to see it. They had an open house the other night. Wow. Nice. What a great thing for Ely to update the school like that and build that connecting building. And it's really beautiful. Lots of good stuff happening up there. But the bottom line is, boy, school starts tomorrow. You guys get a good night's sleep tonight, not during the sermon, but a good night's sleep tonight. Okay. Getting ready for school. But what a battle zone. The construction's kind of appropriate because it maybe will remind all of us that that school and what happens there is absolutely a battle zone. It is absolutely a battle zone, and the world and any crazy thought or belief or philosophy or whatever, it's there in the school. These kids right here and scattered throughout this sanctuary and scattered throughout our town are going to be bombarded with every belief that there is to be found in the world. All of the stuff. What a battle zone. Every crazy, I'm trying to think of politically correct words to say for crazy belief out there. The kids are going to be right in amongst it. All around. What a battle zone. Do you feel like we're at war? Like there's a spiritual war going on around us for the hearts and souls of men and these children. And these little ones, do you feel like we're battling darkness? Like darkness is around us and we're ambassadors of light and there is this war going on. Last week's worship service, what an amazing day. Baptism, picnic, crazy, cool, wonderful stuff. Today is another great and wonderful day. We're going to have a child dedication part of this service here today. And I want us to all think throughout this whole worship service about how each of us, not just the parents, but you, relatives, neighbors, grandparents, aunts, uncles, we're all engaged in battle and in warfare. For some of you older folks, maybe you're past the age of raising up the little ones. How'd you like to raise a kid today in the public school system? How'd you like to be a part of that? My Isabel, our youngest daughter, starts public school tomorrow. Many of you know we've homeschooled the kids for many, many years. She starts public school tomorrow. She's entering the battleground tomorrow. And here's the truth for some of you that are more seasoned and wise and engaged in this battle for longer than some of the others. The younger families, they need us. They need you. We need you. We need your support in this fight. In this war, we need your prayer. We need your encouragement. And we need your wisdom. I desperately need wisdom. Now, those of you that have been coming to Ledge Rock for some time, you know me. I love God's Word. Every week, this particular passage is my favorite one. Like, I love it all. God's Word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will truly change your life if you'll let it. And I like, personally, to simplify God's Word. I'm not one of these that tries to complicate it and make it harder. I like to see how simple I can make it, and then I like to apply it to my life. I like to help you to simplify God's Word and apply God's Word to your life. And that's what we're going to do here today. We're going to take a short passage, one verse, in fact, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, near the end of this book, this great and powerful book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4. We're going to look at one single verse. Man, we're going to simplify it, and then we're going to look at how to apply it to our lives so that all of us can engage in this battle, and particularly you parents that are raising up these little ones that we're dedicating. You can glean some tactical tips from this passage here today, but this is not for the parents alone. This is for all of us. Book of Ephesians, powerful book, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. Amazing truths spelled out in this book. I love Ephesians and how it's laid out. The first three chapters, 1, 2, and 3, are who we were in our sin, how we come to faith in Jesus, who we are now because we've been changed by Jesus. And then the last half of 4, 5, and 6 of this book are simply practical application and how to live out that life change that happens through Jesus. Boy, you can't get a whole lot better than that. Super cool. All right, join me in reading God's Word. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we continue in your very presence this morning, praising and exalting you. And Lord, I thank you for your word and just the clarity in it, the challenges in it, and the charge to all of us and how to live different than the world. And Lord, I thank you for this message and this day, this chance to present your word and your message. And Lord, I pray that you take it, your truth, and speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Lord, please open up all of our hearts and minds to better understand you and who you are and what we're called to do and be for you. So Lord, move among us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. So the point to today's message is that anyone can glean and gain some tactical tips for the battle that we're engaged in by paying attention to this verse, this single solitary verse. And remember, this is not just, this is geared toward you parents. So Travis, don't fall asleep. He's like, what? Don't fall asleep. You know, Scott, Angel. Yeah, don't, but this is geared for you guys, but it's for everyone. And you'll see as we go through it, how we're all part of this. And this one verse, it's kind of a list of don't and do. And I like that. Boy, like, you know, simple. Don't and do. Okay, I can remember that. Don't do this and do that. All right, look at the first part of verse 4. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Man, my lovely, amazing, spectacular, beautiful, wonderful, glowing wife, Teresa, seated right down here. Hi, baby. Reminds me of this verse often. Did I mention wise and intelligent? And super beautiful. She reminds me of this verse often because she needs to. This sermon, all sermons, first and foremost for your pastor, and maybe you can come along with me for a little bit. Fathers, don't stir up your children to anger. I don't know what it is about parenting. I guess the stress of life and busyness, and you want the best for them, and it's easy to stir up kids to anger. And in case you're not a father, you might think, well, whew, I'm a mom. I can do anything I want. Hold on, not quite. The word that Paul uses here is actually better translated parents. It is a masculine form. It's an important form of parents. Notice before this, he's talking about parents in general. So everyone is included in this. Don't stir up your children, parents, to anger. Don't cause anger in them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't stir up these little ones to anger. Don't provoke anger and animosity within them. Boy, parents, now I'm going to speak directly to parents. Parents, your role is crucial with these children. The battleground is not just there at the school. It's in your home. It's in this town. It's in this church. And it's all around. It's everywhere. The battleground is everywhere. And parents, your role is vital in the lives of your children. You're the number one influence in these kids. Grandparents, your roles are vital, especially if you're believers in Jesus. Your roles are crucial. Parents, your influence, aunts, uncles, neighbors, brothers and sisters, body of Christ, our influence is critical in this next generation. Kids are scattered throughout the congregation, but there's a pack of them up here in the front. Our influence on these guys, how we treat them and respond to them and how we love them is critical. Parents, your job is vital, and your influence, whether good or bad, will be picked up by these kids. List of do's and don'ts. Don't provoke to anger these little ones. Well, anger, maybe they don't get angry, but what else might that look like in our lives? How about this? Ones that love and follow Jesus, don't provoke little ones to discouragement. Don't discourage these little guys with heavy criticism or whatever. How about this? Don't provoke to frustration these little ones. We'll get into some tips in a bit. Don't provoke these little ones to despair or resentment. Don't be a cause or an instrument of these things, these negative things in these precious, moldable lives. Your influence is vital, good or bad. Don't provoke. Now, in the Apostle Paul's day, the pagan society, the Roman world, fatherhood was very different than, thankfully, much of what we see today. The father was a very strong, authoritative in the family. The domineering, heavy-handed influence over the wife and the children was normal in the Roman culture, in the pagan world. And Paul was saying, followers of Jesus, that ought not be you. Don't lead your families like that. There's a better way. There's a better way to lead. So you can see why Paul was saying, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be different than the world out there. Part of following Christ is being a godly parent that doesn't cause discouragement and despair and depression in your children. They're already bombarded with enough. Let's not add to their load and their burden. Don't provoke bad things in the kids. It breaks my heart sometimes to think of the way I've spoken to my children and the way I hear other people speak to their kids. I've seen it so many times. Mom, dad, little one, little one's trying to show them something that's neat or ask a question or whatever, and the parent just kind of barks at him, come on, we got to go, and the kid is drug along, and they just wanted to show him a cute thing or a pretty leaf or whatever, and the parent never even stopped to listen, and they got drug along, and I could see the discouragement in the kid because they didn't even get a chance to say what they were thinking. It breaks my heart sometimes how we treat our children and how others treat our children. Remember, they're learning how to act by the way we act, by the way we treat them. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I think Jesus said that. So what do we do? How do we realize the bad, like don't do those things. Don't provoke. Don't be an instrument of that stuff. So what do we do? I was thinking about this, and I came up with a little quote. If you take notes, this is your little note for the day. This is your quote. How about this one for an answer to the problem? What do we do? Listen long and talk short. Can you remember that? Listen long and talk short. Man, wouldn't that solve a lot of the problems that we face globally? Listen long and talk short. How about when we do talk? Because as parents, we have to talk to our kids. We're told to talk to them a lot, and we're going to get into that even more in a moment. But when we talk to the kids, how about this? Talk with calmness. Parent with calmness first. Teresa's reading a book about next gen and raising children with grace. Like first and foremost with grace. Wow, eye-opening. We talk to the kids. Talk with calmness. Talk with grace. Talk with gentleness. Talk with caring and compassion. How about this? Talk with love, seasoned with love and joy. And as I was thinking about that and writing these little things down, I thought, wow, what about just talk with the fruit of the Spirit leading? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. What if we, family of God, spoke to everyone with the fruit of the Spirit leading? Love, joy, grace, patience, calmness, and kindness. I listen long and talk short. Imagine if we spoke to everyone that way, including those that we disagreed with or from different beliefs throughout the world. Listen long, talk short. Parents, role models, guard your hearts first and foremost. Guard your hearts against the evils of the world. The darkness that's all around us, guard your hearts first so that you know how to guard their hearts. Guard your hearts and guard their hearts and then guide them with grace and mercy and the benefit of the doubt and dignity and calmness and gentleness. Don't provoke to anger or wrath or depression or discouragement or despair. It's enough of the don't. What about the do? I like this last part. What do we do? Well, he says it right here, verse 4, part B. But bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What do we do with our kids? What are we tasked to do with the next generation? This is all of us, with all kids, all ages, everywhere. Bring them up in the training and instruction of Jesus. Now, as parents, we teach our kids many things. I love the outdoors. I like to teach my kids how to fish, teach them how to tie knots, how to run a boat. I teach them how to change the oil in a vehicle and maintain it and check the tire pressures. And moms, you like to teach them how to do amazing things in the kitchen and how to be a godly woman. There's so many things that we teach our kids, good things, how to balance a checkbook and how to pay bills on time. We teach them good work ethic and to be honorable and dependable and all those good things. We teach our kids many good things. And those are good and wonderful things. And they're important things that we are supposed to teach. But the most important thing that we can ever teach our kid is the training and instruction of Jesus. Teach him who Jesus is. And what Jesus has done for us personally, and how the same God-man, Jesus the Christ, is available to do anything in your lives as well. The most important thing is train them up and teach them in the ways of Jesus. So what's that look like? Man, part of guarding your heart is really grappling with the truth of the gospel. Teach our kids the gospel. The good news of Jesus, that God in his infinite power and glory left that behind and, emptied himself and came to the earth and was born as a man, the God-man, baby Jesus. And Jesus grew up and lived a perfect, sinless life. And he fulfilled and completed the law and all the requirements. And at the right moment in history, Jesus willingly went to the cross and gave his blood and his life as the once and for all ransom for our sins, for mankind. That if by faith we trust him as Lord and Savior, that God's grace will fall on our lives, we'll be forgiven and then made new. Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he defeated sin and death. And now we as believers, kids, we have a victory in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Teach them the gospel. Teach them about Jesus. Share your personal testimony with them. It's what we've been talking about for weeks. Our personal testimony. Share with them what Jesus has done in our lives and in your life. Read Scripture together and talk about Scripture together. You don't have to have a seminary degree to do that. Just read Scripture. Minutes. Talk about minutes and then pray with your kiddos. Pray with the kiddos. All the time, share your own worries and fears and how you're praying to the Lord for whatever that need is in your life, and then pray for them before school and after school and during school. Pray for them. Lift this next generation up. Don't provoke to anger, but build them up in the teaching and training and in Christ's likeness, and share God and the Scriptures and Jesus and your testimony with them and pray with them. How about this? Just model Christ-likeness. Model Christ-likeness. Man. Wow. How about you older ones? Pray for the younger ones to be able to do this in our homes and in our families, because we're engaged in a battle all around us. So now you might ask, well, how? Sounds okay, Pastor, I get it. Like, that's a simple verse, and you've given us some simple quotes and simple thoughts. How do we do this? I like practical application. And so my number one tip, my marriage has never been better until I got my priorities correct. My parenting has never been more effective until I got my priorities correct. And so when I'm wondering the answer to questions, I just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do, or what did Jesus say? And he answered this question for us. How do we be better parents? How do we be better at training up the next generation in the ways of the Lord? The number one answer is to love God more. Love God more than you ever have loved anyone or anything ever in existence. If you want to be a better parent, love God more. If you want to be a better husband, love God more. If you want to be a better wife, love God more. And then, parents, listen to me, love your spouse next. Love your spouse next. Model for your kids what it's like to love God and to love your spouse. And then love your kids. Show them what it's like to be an adult. But if you want to be effective at this battle we're engaging, if you want tactical tips for today's world that we live in, love God more than anything. And love others like you love yourself. Jesus told us to do that. So who is supposed to do this? All of us. Remember, this is about parents, yeah, but it's about all of us. We're all engaged in this battle, all of us. Parents, families, extended families, neighbors, church family. Teresa shares, one of these days she'll share her testimony. She doesn't know that, but. Will you share your testimony sometime with us, honey? Say yes.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Teresa's testimony involves her church family and the vital role that it played in her life and in her development and in her maturity. Gosh, part of my own testimony is her church family praying for my salvation. They're blown away that I'm actually a preacher. They knew me before I was saved. So parents, families, church families, love God more, love each other, love these kids, show them how it is to live like Christ. Your role is vital and important. It truly takes a village to raise up these kids that we all have been tasked with. Proverbs 22:6 says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, or she, they will not depart from it. Man, is that true? Chris shared that part of his testimony. Jimmy shared part of that as his testimony. You get to college and you drift away a little bit, but that foundation that we together built for these kids, it's crucial and vital, and they may wander, but later on they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free while they're engaged in the battle that's all around them everywhere. Like light, like a lighthouse, you and I, the church, together as the body, we will shine in the darkness around us and show these kids the light of Jesus. We're at war, a real war, a spiritual battle all around us, and the construction going on should remind us, drive by the school and pray today, tomorrow, all week, every day. Look at the battleground there and remember we are engaged in a battle there, walking into the lion's den. Let's pray for them and use these tactical tips to help all of us be better warriors for the kingdom and the cause of Jesus. I've asked Miss Joanne Larson to come up and share. She's got an amazing story, to share a little bit of her story and how she grew up in a godly home and sought to create a godly home, and just share with the parents, but also with all of us, some tips, some tactical tips and some advice on how best, she doesn't need our help, look at that. Some tips on how best, well, just, I'll get you the mic, Miss Joanne, and you share from your heart. Yeah, let me move this. Time out.
Yes, it's...
I'm going to move this. Sorry. Hang on. There you go.
That's a little
there
better.
You go. That'll help.
Yes. As Queen Elizabeth shrunk in her years, so did I.
There you go.
And as I came up here, I thought to myself, how in the world did God give me so many years? I turned 91 this week.
And oh, wow.
So, and as Pastor Kurt was sharing about the schools, as a retired teacher, my heart is with the school. Everybody can't afford or isn't able to homeschool kids. And we need to have our Christian students in the school influencing. And we need to pray that they have the strength to stand up for Jesus and to live. And we as parents, grandparents, and as was said, older people who don't have children at home, to pray for them and to encourage them.
Yes.
I am delighted to have my brother, who's 10 years younger than I am, so he can vouch for anything I say if this was really our family. But it is interesting to realize that one of the verses that I feel is very important in this Christian walk is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and starting in verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now listen, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, the conversations within your home should include Jesus with every aspect of your life.
Amen.
I had an advantage. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a Scottish immigrant, became a pastor, called into the ministry. My mother's great-grandfather, was part of the persecution in Sweden and came here and is part of the founding of the Free Church. The little church in Kost outside of North Branch is the church that he developed. So I came out of a heritage of faith. And my home life with my dad as a pastor and my mother, a professional musician, our home life reflected Jesus. We were stressed that it was not only reading scripture, praying together, we did that, but it was also the fact that we were to accept Jesus Christ ourselves, that his faith, my mother's faith, was not ours until we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And our conversation went from past the mashed potatoes to talking about Jesus. It was just woven into every fabric of our life. Bible reading, 1937 was when my family discovered Burnside Lake. And Burnside Lake became a place out in this remote resort on the North Arm where, sitting by the fire, evenings, we would be sharing, reading stories, books, God's word, and prayer. And there was a time when we really saw God in the beautiful nature that was pointed out to us by our family. We as a family were musical. My mother and dad loved to sing, and so we would go out in the North Arm fishing and singing. We sang hymns. My dad, coming from Scotland, had a heritage of great hymns. I can sing 5 verses of many hymns without a hymn book because we sang. And the resort, the Linscog Resort, the people got to know the Baxters have arrived. There's music. We would sing down by the dock. My sons did the same when we vacationed at Burnside Lake and when we were building our home, down on the dock in the evening with their guitars, singing about Jesus. So we as a family had meals together, believe it or not. And we, our conversation could be about everything else, but it always included something about Jesus. Growing up in that kind of a situation, I was married to Ben Larson, as many of you know him when we came here, and he was called into the ministry. He was going into architecture to develop with his father, who was the old-fashioned Swedish carpenter and construction person, and felt God's call to the ministry. And I had felt safe that I won't have to be in a pastor's family anymore, and then ended up in that anyway. But we began our life, our engagement, our marriage, or early life before children with daily devotions talking about Jesus. And then our one of our pastor times was in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I was teaching at the high school, and the kids were in school there, and our parsonage was located right across the street from the school complex. And Bemidji, if you know, has the largest school bus pickup in the state of Minnesota. I forget how many miles of kids. So my kids' friends would be coming in by school bus, and they always stopped at our house. What are we doing? We are sitting at the table finishing breakfast. These kids pile in, and they hear our morning devotions because we prayed, and we had each son had an opportunity to pray each day. So it was their turn. It was Steve, or it was Dick, or it was John. These kids standing there in our kitchen heard God's word and also heard their friends praying. To any of the young families who are here today, whether you're having your children dedicated or not, sharing God's word is very important, and praying together. I was thinking as I was talking about this, remembering that it was with my dad, as just a very young person, still in elementary school, praying to accept Jesus Christ. And then shortly after being baptized, my dad prayed with me, and of course my mother did too. The father in the home is extremely important. The father showing love, showing love for Jesus. But there are many women who have to do this alone. And we have a wonderful example in Scripture in the book of Timothy, where Paul writes to him and commends Timothy for having godly mother and grandmother. That's where I fit in this life right now. They lived and taught and spoke the love of Jesus to young Timothy. Older women, older men who have no contact with children, do you know how important your life is in praying for them? My brother will assure you that what I'm telling you is truth. In my grandmother's home in Robbinsdale, my great-grandmother came to live. She was in her late 80s. She spoke only Swedish. And we talked to great-grandma, but she couldn't understand us. I was Flicka. My brother Jim was Poika. Rich wasn't born yet. And she is sitting in a little rocker, which I have in my home, by that dining room table. And on her lap is her hymn book, her Bible, and then she would take off her glasses, set them on the dining room table, and start in Swedish. Jim and I are crawling under the dining room table, 6 and 4. And finally I said to my mother, "What's Grandma doing?" She said, "She is praying for you and Jim and all the generations to come." And I do believe that we, as Christian parents, grandparents, Christian people, need to be open to see the need for prayer for every one of these kids, teenagers. My Bible study knows my heart is with teenagers. It is a tough world out there that they're facing. And Lord, how we need to bring each one of them before the throne of grace daily. So I am so excited to see these young parents and their little ones being dedicated to the Lord. But it takes more than just the parents. It takes a community of believers.
For us right now, I usually pray at the end of my sermon, but I'm going to ask if you would pray.
I will pray.
Yes, please.
I'd love to talk to the Lord.
Yes.
Loving Heavenly Father, what a morning this has been as we have been here in your house of praise and prayer of God's word. And Lord, as I think about the concerns that we are sharing right now in the world in which we live, for our children, for our teens, for our young adults just starting in life. Lord, how we need you, how they need you. And I pray that each person within this room today will be so charged with your love and grace that they will truly live the life of Jesus before the children, the teens, and more also, Lord, for this community. And so, Lord, I commit these young parents that are going to dedicate their children. But more than that, Lord, I dedicate us as a congregation to truly take on this responsibility of praise and prayer for these young people. We are so thankful to ask all of this in Jesus' precious name, always trusting your will. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'll take that. Yeah, it's okay to clap. So, all those in favor of having Miss Joanne preach for me next Sunday, say amen. Yeah, yeah, excellent. And 91. I want to be Miss Joanne when I grow up. So, I'm going to invite the Fleischmans to come down here, and the Nelsons, I think you're back over there, to come on down front. And bring those precious little bundles of joy along. with you. So, in way of introduction, we have Travis and Allison Fleischman and their baby Brielle. And Miss Allison has not been eating improperly. She actually is pregnant with another blessing in there. So congratulations. Not new to all of us, but that we've... Yeah, so do you want to share with us what we've got, or is that more private?
Oh, you can go ahead and share. We've got a baby boy.
A baby boy coming. All right.
Theodore.
Okay. So Travis and Allison and Brielle, and then we have Scott and Angel Nelson, along with little Scott, Scott the fourth, or Scotty, and Klaus here. So that's who we have before us. And you're not pregnant, are you, Angel? Okay. These parents have come today to pledge themselves before God and you, this congregation, to raise their children in a way that honors Jesus. Now, to you parents, I'll come down and face you guys. All right. To you parents, do you today recognize these children as gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing?
We do.
Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will become, that they will belong wholly to God?
We do.
Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Jesus, and the joy of the Lord into their lives?
We do.
Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and not use them?
Do
you promise, by God helping you, to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to them, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and obey His teachings?
We do.
All right. To the congregation, to you, do you pledge to pray for these little ones and pledge to help these parents to live up to their promises?
Yes.
Together with your parents, we love these children dearly. And we, this congregation, who care about the outcome of their faith, dedicate to God and seeking to surrender together with them all the worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will someday belong wholly and completely to Jesus Christ. I've asked Tim Stauffer to come and pray for these families and these children, but we have a lot of children in here, and we have some that aren't able to be with us this morning. We've got a whole row full of them here this morning, so as I said earlier, we are engaged in a battle all around us, and Miss Joanne nailed it when she said we have to be praying for them. I'm going to ask if you would step out of your comfort zone and come up here and just surround this group with your powerful presence and pray together as a church family for them and for these little ones. Little ones, guys, would you come and empty that front pew and just stand here, please, so we can pray over you as you get ready to go to school? I know it's not comfortable. Some of you are guests or visitors. You can stay where you're at. But if you're able, I'd love for you to come up and just put your hand on the person in front of you. My guide in Israel said, no bubbles. Get nice and close.
While everybody is coming up, when Pastor Kurt asked me to pray, I had a couple of thoughts. One was that about this time, 23 years ago, Jen and I had a similar service for our son, Simon. And he'll be 24 in just a couple weeks here. And then about, I'd say 19 years after that service, he was baptized right here in this church along with his sister Juliet. And the other thought I had was, I remembered the song that we've been singing every couple of weeks, and we sang it again this morning when we opened. And everybody seems to get really into that song. There is some shouting, whether encouraged by Jimmy or not, when we get to that verse that says, I walked out of that grave. And last week, we had an illustration down at Seymour's about what just what that means. I walked out of that grave. Does anybody think about that on a daily basis of what that verse means, why we're so excited about it? Well, it comes from earlier in Ephesians, and I wanted to read that today. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, the passions of our flesh carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I'm almost done. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared when? Beforehand, so that we could what? Walk in them. It's already planned, and those steps are already going to fall. We just have to trust that he knows what he's doing. And we walked out of that grave when the folks last week rose up out of the water, very similar to this early dedication we're going to do for the little ones that Kurt just did. That symbolized the coming alive of someone who is dead. So today is another very important day. It does or doesn't have much to do with what we do here, depending on how you look at things, but it's 9/11. And, you know, you might say this morning, well, I got time to do this. I'm just not ready to do this kind of thing. I'm going to talk it over in my mind, and maybe next year this time I'll get baptized or I'll do something. But a college contemporary of mine was in the towers, and he had a choice, and he let somebody go in the elevator before him because that's who he was, and so there was no next elevator for him. And it's a powerful illustration today of just how much time you don't have to make these kinds of decisions. So if you hear God talking to you today, then answer. Because you're not just okay. You're not pretty good without him. You're not going to make it on your own. You're in a grave. You're dead. And you need to step out of that and into life that he has planned for you. So this morning, Lord, we come before you with hands extended and hearts extended. We've made a commitment. They've made a commitment. And we've all made a commitment this morning after hearing the sermon, I hope, to love you first and foremost, and then to let that love shine in all of our relationships, parents, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, to the children who need you. Just as much as we need you. We thank you that for you and your son Jesus, we are adopted children into your family, and that you are our Father, that you model to us this kind of behavior that we should for them. Everywhere is a battlefield because we are no longer of this world, but we are put in it to do the things that you have for us to do, to walk in the footsteps, in the schools, in the community, in the places outside of our own homes. We just ask that you give us the strength and the love to do so in the way that you would have us do it. We thank you for these young lives and just ask your blessing on them and all the years forward that they have. Be with us today, tomorrow, and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.